Hallelujah. Are y'all excited? Hallelujah. I tell you, to me, I get excited. I get excited when we can get in the presence of God. Amen. I mean, I'm glad when the church is full, but I'm just glad if two or three are here that are hungry for God. If I just got a couple that are hungry for God, that's really enough to excite me, because when you get excited about the Word, listen, the Word of God begins to explode in your life. You become a changed person. You're never the same. Just one word from God can change your life forever. So if you're ready tonight to receive, let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight as we study. Lord, as we open the Word of God that You have for us tonight. And Lord, You've given us a word. You've given us a message tonight to give to the people that have gathered here. So I pray, God, that their hearts tonight would be enlarged to receive the capacity, God, to store the things that You have in their life, in their heart. I thank You, Father, that the Word will go unhindered tonight in Jesus' name. We take authority over everything the enemy would try to throw to block and disguise and hide God's Word from their heart. So in Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord, for it, and we bless You because of it. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. Alrighty, let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. I really want to continue the message. I'm taking a little detour, a sidetrack, but not really, because we've been talking about the weapons of our warfare. But last week, remember, I started talking about it is the will of God. Now listen to me just a second as you turn in there. It is the will of God that we ask God what we call prayer, are asking God, are putting a demand upon the Word. And it is the heart of God to answer our prayer. Now listen to that very closely. It is the will of God that you and I ask. And it is the heart of God to answer our prayer. This is where I think some kind of, you know, fall by the wayside. I think almost all Christians know, yeah, God wants us to ask, but I'm not really sure if He answers or He's even hearing my prayer. So we talked about that we have to have confidence. The Bible says in 1 John that if we ask anything according to His will, we can have that confidence that He hears us. Are you with me tonight? So we talked about according to His will. And listen, wouldn't it be a weird God? Wouldn't God be weird if He said we could ask anything according to His will, and then we ask Him, and He says, no, I'm just kidding. Or I'm just playing around with you. No, no. What kind of God would that be that would not do what He said He would do? He said if we ask anything in His name, according to His will, He will do it. Well, Jeremiah chapter 33, let's start there tonight, and let's just kind of pick up, because I've got some more things here I think that are very important that we really, really need to get tonight. He said, call to Me. Are you there? Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Say great and mighty things. That's all right. Leave it up in the Amplified. I'm going to read that in just a minute. He said, which you do not know. And let me read it in the Amplified. I had to put it up there. It says, call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Now look at this part. Fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, having knowledge of and understanding. So again, I tell you, it is God's will that we come and ask of Him things, ask Him for things according to His Word, and He will answer us. But you know, we have to ask, and we have to base it upon His Word. There are things that they're not like hidden from us, but they're hidden in the sense that God has to reveal them to us. So when we ask God, God begins to reveal those things to us. They're like behind the wall. They're behind a fence. But how many know God is not holding anything back from His children? God wants us to see everything that belongs to us through the Word of God, and we appropriate it through the hand of faith. Can you say amen? So last week we got into this aspect, remember, of praying for the lost. And, you know, people, when we talk about the lost, we're talking about those that do not know Christ Jesus. How many believe that there's a lot of people today that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They know about God, but they don't know God personally. We use the scripture. I'm not going to go back through all of them, but we talked in Psalms 2:8 because this is the scripture the Lord gave us. He said, ask of me, and they'll just put it up on the screen right quick because I want to take off here a minute. It says, and I will give you the nations, or I'll give you the lost. The King James says the heathen, the lost, those that are not born again. He said, ask of me, put a demand upon my word. He said, I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. So we talked about that, you know, we want our family to be saved. We want our unsaved children to be saved. We want our neighbors to be saved. We want the lost to come in. But the way that they come in is because we pray. I said, you know, it was great. We had a, you know, again, we had a full house, standing room back there, extra chairs out. And, you know, the prayer is what the church must do in order for the lost to continually come in. We cannot just say, okay, we pray for Easter or pray for Christmas. You know, a lot of people will come in those times. But there must be a continual, a daily prayer on our part as believers, as the people of the church, for the lost. Can you say amen? And again, I don't want to go through all these things, but most of you have been in church long enough to know that there's three basic things when we pray for the lost. Now, I'm going to talk about something different today, but I want to give you these things. There's three things, because really we're talking about how do we ask of God? How do we essentially use what we understand, what we know, ask of God, and God not only hears our prayer, but He answers our prayer. We know that we need to pray for the lost. Can you say amen? All right. Well, here's three things right quick. You might want to write them down. We need to pray for the rain. Now, I'm not talking about agua. I'm not talking about water rain. I'm talking about the rain of the Holy Spirit. We talked about, you know, the fact that the Spirit of God is what draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God. Amen? That's number one. Number two, we need to pray for laborers that will go out and preach the gospel. That is a commandment that Jesus gave us. Can you say amen? And then the third thing is that we need to pray the second... I'm just teaching you how to pray, okay? We need to pray like 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 4:4 to be exact, where the blinders are removed. How many know that the devil is real? And Satan blinds hearts. He blinds eyes of men, of the human race, so that they cannot receive the glorious light of the gospel. Well, our job is to break down those barriers, to break down those hindrances. Amen? Okay, so the word we understand, and when we get back to teaching on the weapons of our warfare, the word has to be planted in their hearts. So if anything else, the word, they got the word even out of that drama. They got a lot of word out of that drama. So the word is like seed, right? So it's going into their hearts. But how many know the hearts have to become fertile soil so that the word can grow up and bear fruit? And if you ask, and let me just kind of inject this before I get off on the other thing here. If you ask what is the number one role of the church, I think most people would say, well, it's about the lost. But let me just challenge you on that thinking. Now, our heart and our passion needs to be for the lost. We need to have a passion for lost people, because if people don't find the Lord, they're going to finish their life in this natural earth and spend eternity in hell. So there needs to be a passion there, right? And a desire that we need to win people to the Lord. But let me just say this to you. I cannot find any scriptural or scriptural basis where that is the number one job of the church or the church service. What I do find is that the number one job of this church service, according to Jesus, how many of you believe Jesus, is to feed the sheep. No, y'all, now listen to me. Is to feed the sheep. If you're saved, you are sheep. Okay, so the service is not to preach to the lost. The lost have to be won through prayer, through compelling them to come in so they can hear the word that is being preached. The number one goal, according to the Lord, according to the Word of God, is that we feed the sheep. Sheep need to be fed so that they can become strong. They need a shepherd, of course. They need somebody to, you know, watch over them and warn them and show them things from the Word of God. So tonight, listen, I want to talk about this other aspect. I think it's the direction the Lord gave me as I was seeking Him about this. I want to talk to you about how to pray for leaders. I want to talk to you about how to pray for leaders who are your spiritual leaders. And again, I can see a lot of enthusiasm tonight. But we are living in a very critical hour. We're living in an hour where there is a leadership crisis. Now, I'm talking, and I'm going to talk about leaders spiritually. We know and we have word that we have to pray for our leaders in government, our leaders as far as president and those that make the laws of the land. But there is something that you and I must know, and that is that we have to pray for those who lead us spiritually. You say, well, can't they pray for themselves? Well, yeah, they can, and they should, but the Bible instructs you to pray also. A leader is only one bad choice away from falling. But so are Christians. Now, when you understand that, just one bad choice away from a fall. Now, no one here, again, we're not perfect, right? We are humans, and we do make mistakes. But there has to come a place where we understand as a church, as the people of God, we have to pray for those who spiritually lead us. There's a reason that we need to pray. And we're going to look at this through the Word of God. I'm going to show you some exciting things here tonight. You know, why do we need prayer for leaders? Because, think about it. The devil would love nothing more. And he scores his most points when he can take out spiritual leaders. I'm talking about leaders that are in position of spiritual authority who have great influence. What a leader is somebody who stands and leads, who influences people. And we're talking about spiritual leaders. Why should you pray for your pastor? Why should you pray for those that are in leadership of this church? Well, because the devil uses his attacks, and he steps up those attacks on spiritual leaders, predominantly spiritual leaders, higher than just the average Joe. Now, I know a lot of you have had attacks, and I know a lot of you get under attack, but think about the devil if he can attack a spiritual leader and take that spiritual leader out of being effective, then he's won a major blow. He's won a major battle of the war. Are you with me? You may or may not know this. Probably most of you do. There was a major, high-profile leader, minister. If I told you his name right now, all of you would know who he is. Who, last month, a divorce was filed. The wife is divorcing this famous minister in our land. Well, you know, I follow certain people on Twitter. We have Twitter and we have Facebook now on our website. And by the way, not to gossip, but to use it as a tool to minister, to use it as a tool that will inspire and instruct and even train people that will you know, follow. But what I'm saying to you is this. It was amazing because I follow some on Twitter of the other ministers and well-known people, you know, throughout the country and so on and so forth. But how so many are so quick to judge and to devour those that fall. It's almost like if somebody is a Christian and they're in a position of authority and a position of leadership and influence and they fall, it's like, well, maybe they were never of God. Well, come on. Or, you know, something was not right. Now, I don't know all the story. I don't know everything. I probably know a little more than you because I have a little more inside information. But, you know, I do know this, that the person said that his wife had no scriptural grounds for divorce. And how many of you know who I'm talking about? Okay. Well, I say that to you because God didn't call us when somebody from our ranks falls down to step on them and rub them on in the ground. God has called us to be there to pray the prayers of protection. And I'm telling you, instead of gossiping and speculating and saying this and saying that, we ought to be praying. Amen? We don't know all the details. We don't know who was at fault. All we know is the devil can get into anything and in any situation. Just because you're a high-profile minister and minister to millions and been doing it for a long time doesn't mean the devil is going to leave you alone. Okay, but the point I'm making is that when the church begins to realize that they have a duty, they have an obligation to pray for spiritual leaders. Because the last thing we want is for our spiritual leaders to fall because they were not protected through the prayers of the saints. So, tonight we want to look at these things. Here's God's heart. I mean, we need to pray for protection up front because the attacks are coming all the time. The fiery darts of the enemy are coming all the time. We need prayer. Listen to me. We need prayer for the leaders of this church. We need prayers for the pastor. We need prayers for those that are in other aspects and other parts of the ministry. Not because we're in trouble now, but to put up, if you will, that shield of protection. But we need to pray right. That's why we have to grow up. That's why I'm teaching this on Wednesday, by the way, and not on Sunday, because I look at you again as the more mature, the more hungry for the things of God, the more serious, if you will, about what your responsibilities are and what your role is in this fellowship, in this local church. Because how many know, a lot of people will tell you, well, Pastor, I'm praying for you. But what does that mean? What does it mean when somebody says, well, yeah, I'm going to pray for you? What kind of prayers are they praying? Are they praying scriptural prayers? Because do you understand that if you don't pray effectively and you don't pray even correctly in some of these kind of things, you can do more harm than good. No, I said you can do more harm. You can do more damage than good. So let's look at some scriptures. Let's see, because what we're going to find out is that we are instructed in many places to pray for spiritual leaders, those that lead spiritually in the body of Christ. Go with me over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Are you following me? Okay, you're with me tonight. All right, let's go over here. This is very, you know, when you get a hold of this, you'll see how much it can affect and impact your life. It can impact churches. There's churches that fall like dominoes every year, close their doors. There's ministers that fall. This just happened to be one high, big profile name, okay? So the devil is doing what he can to take people out, and he's no respecter of persons. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to show you some real cool scriptures here. Here's the great Apostle Paul. How many know that the Apostle Paul was responsible for writing 2/3 of the New Testament? I mean, it's amazing. He had a fabulous ministry. a ministry where he established churches that are all over the known world. And one of the things that he kept instructing to the people that he ministered to was to pray for him. Now, come on now. When you look at it in that aspect, here's the great Apostle Paul, who had the mysteries unravel through revelation of the Holy Spirit. Yet everywhere he goes, he asks people to pray for him. But he instructed them how to pray. That's what I'm doing to you tonight. Remember, I said the number one job of the local church is to feed the sheep. My job is to instruct you. My job is to teach you what is required of you so that it puts a demand upon you with responsibility so you can turn it back and put a demand upon God's Word. That's why we have to know we ask of God and God answers what we ask if we ask according to His Word or His will. Well, Ephesians chapter 6, and understanding this is what happens here, because think about it. I mean, we're all called to pray. And if the devil was going to take somebody out, now he doesn't, you know, he's no respecter of persons, but just again, think, I'm trying to get this into you visually, that if you were the devil, which you're not, but who would you want to shoot at? Who would you want to take out? See, the higher the platform, the higher the responsibility, the greater the influence, the greater he scores and the greater attacks that he will make. Not that he won't bother anybody, but he gets more points for taking out the high profile. Okay, you have to see that part. So it would be just very, very normal for Satan to attack the Apostle Paul. And we see through the Word of God, through the New Testament, many, many attacks. Well, let's read here in verse 18. It says, praying always. Verse 18. You know this scripture, but it says, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, he starts off by talking about praying for the saints. Who are the saints? They are the God's consecrated people. They're not the walls hanging up on the Catholic Church. You are the saints of God, okay? Come on, somebody. All right. All right. Now, he says, and for me. Now, look, he's going to instruct us. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to read out of the Amplified, if she'll stick it up there. It says, pray at all times and on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. In other words, we have to learn. That's why we have to teach on prayer every once in a while, so that our prayers are scriptural, so that we understand that there's different types of prayers for different situations, okay? We don't just throw it up and for a free-for-all and you know, expect it to produce for us. Well, here's what he says. To that end, he says, keep alert, watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And, verse 19, and pray also for me. Now look what he instructs. Here's how he says, okay, here's how you pray. You might want to jot these things down, you that pray, okay? And I hope all of you pray. He said, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news. That's the gospel. Now, I have again worked both sides of the ledger. I've been in secular work and I've been in ministerial work. I've been, you know, doing this for a long time, but I did work in secular work, and I have talked to many people that hire Christians in their businesses and so on and so forth. And you know, it's amazing that I've had businessmen tell me that some of their worst employees are those that call themselves Christians. They're the ones that, you know, backbite. They're the ones that will gossip. They're the ones that will, you know, like the Bible says, bite and devour one another. You know, when he said bite and devour one another, he's not talking about like a four-year-old come up and take a bite out of it. He's talking about what you do with your mouth, how you talk about people and how you say things from your mouth. Are you listening to me? The point, Paul is asking them, number one, to pray for him that the gospel would have an open door or be able to boldly speak it with an utterance. Now look at this, because what he's going to tell us here is that he can speak the word publicly, and we're going to find out here in just a minute that it does not be hindered. It does not, if you will, go against a wall. Now, I know that there's certain types of churches. There's certain kinds of churches. There's churches that are controlled by people, churches that are controlled by boards. If you have a situation where the pastor, for example, is controlled by either people or by a board, by what he preaches or doesn't preach, how many know you've got a problem? I said, you've got a problem. That is not scriptural. That is not the way God set this up. Now, you know, when you come to a place where your prayer is that God change the pastor, change his character, change his person, that's demonic. Change the way he preaches. That's not the way you pray. Okay? There has to be a prayer for the man of God to have the liberty and the freedom to minister and preach with accuracy, with boldness, with clarity, the things that God gives him to say to the congregation. I know I had a pastor come to me one time. Pastors, I won't tell you which church, but one of the churches here, the denominational church, he said, man, I wish we had a government like you have. Now, we have a board, but there's a place for a board. You know, a board helps you make business decisions. You know, you're going to buy land or you're going to build a building, stuff like that. But the board should never control what you preach. Okay? And he said, I wish we had it set up like that. He said, we don't have it that way. He said, how would you preach? He was talking to me. He said, how would you preach every Sunday if you knew every Monday you could be voted out of the pulpit? I said, well, it probably would affect me, but number one, I'd never get myself in that situation. And so, you know, what I'm saying is that there has to be a freedom. If you notice, in this church, every time we've had people come and speak here, sometimes they'll even say things like, oh, there's a liberty to preach in your church. There's a freedom. You know why? Because we've trained people. We've trained you. We've trained this congregation that there's a liberty there to be able to proclaim the Word of God boldly. Now, the importance of prayer is, if there's liberty there, then whatever that liberty is being used has to be used correctly. It can't be used to get off track. It can't be used to minister something that's going to influence or impact or lead people in the wrong direction. Are y'all with me? So I'm trying to teach you these things because we want freedom to reign in this church. We want the liberty of the Holy Ghost to be Lord in this church. Amen. We want the liberty to preach it and the liberty for people to be able to receive it. Now, I know that sometimes there's things that kind of get in the way. I remember I was thinking about this today when we hadn't been going too long. Somebody said, well, you know, there's a lot of witchcraft in the valley. I said, yeah, we know. And he said, you know, there's a group over there somewhere in Mercedes, Rincon del Diablo, and they've got a doll of you and they put pins in it. And they're trying to put some kind of curse on you. I said, well, let them stick it all day long. I have authority over those things. I'm not going to succumb. I mean, you know, like they're going to stick a pin. You know, I'm going to, you know, go like this or something. No. Because if you give in to something like that, you're saying that the devil has more power than God. Okay, so, you know, I don't care how many witches or brujas or brujos or whatever. We have more authority and more power than the devil. Amen. But there needs to be liberty. There needs to be freedom. And we need to be able to make sure that we don't allow any devils in the pulpit. And we don't allow any devils in the congregation. Now, when I say devils, I'm talking about people that are influenced. Now, you can have Christians they can be influenced, okay, by demons. They can be controlled by demonic spirits. I didn't say they were possessed. Christians can't be possessed, but they can be influenced. They can be influenced by wrong thinking, by wrong ideas, and by wrong people. So I'm making a point. That's what he said. He said, pray also for me that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of God, that is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, now go to the book of Romans, and let's look at this other one here, because we're talking about having that freedom to proclaim. And Paul said over and over, everywhere he went, he said, you pray for me. Romans chapter 15, in verse 30, we're going to read verse 30 and 31. Now, controlling spirits, listen to me, can creep in the church. It can creep in where there are board that controls, or sometimes families will try to control a church. These things have to be fought against through prayer. Okay? You have a responsibility. You're not just a church attender. You're church connected. You're vested. You're part of it. And you don't want to see any devil come in and destroy it. Okay? Just like you don't want to see any devil come into your family and destroy your family, destroy your marriage, or destroy your children. So this is why I say that we have to come back and say, okay, we have a responsibility to pray for our spiritual leaders, those that lead us spiritually. And we have to learn how to do it correctly. We have to learn how to do it scripturally. Say, well, I need prayer myself. Well, we'll get into that a little later, okay? But let's get the first things first. Romans chapter 15, verse 30, he said, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God. Here it is again. In prayers to God for me. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. In prayers to God for me. He says, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. The Amplified, and you can just stick it up there, it says, I appeal to you and I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Lord, or the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest wrestling in prayer to God. Now, let me know that sometimes prayer can be like a wrestling match, because we're not fighting flesh and blood, right? We're fighting against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wrestling in prayer to God in my behalf. Pray, he said, that I might be delivered or rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my mission to relief to Jerusalem may be acceptable and graciously received by the saints, God's people there. So Paul was saying, we need to pray because there's unsaved people that want to hinder the work of God. There's unsaved people in our community. They don't want the things of God to bear fruit. That's why we have to pray for school board members and people that make decisions, you know, to do things on church days and church nights and take families and distract them from the things of God. I mean, know that if we don't pray, then we just fall into the tactics, into the hands of the devil. And so that's what he's saying. There's times in prayer where you're going to be dealing with some things, you're going to be wrestling with some things, but if we don't learn how to mobilize ourselves together in prayer and pray effectively and pray like Paul said, pray for me, pray that I be delivered from these unbelievers, pray that the Word of God can be spoken in utterance and boldness. He said, if you don't pray, he said, there's going to be problems, okay? Colossians, and again, now he's talking about his public ministry, okay? And can I just say this to you as you turn over the book of Colossians? That public ministry, and I want you to think about this, is the most powerful thing on this earth. As far as influence, there is no greater honor, there is no greater privilege than me as your pastor to stand up here and impart to you the Word of God. The public ministry, somebody that leads, somebody that speaks forth, and the Word is received, influences people. It causes people to change their views, their outlooks, their attitudes. Are you with me? There is no more powerful, if you will, no more powerful thing on earth as far as influence. But that really applies to any kind of leader. But especially in spiritual things. So if there's not prayer for that spiritual leader, and that spiritual leader gets out of whack or off base, is going to have a great impact, a great effect. Think about it. I don't know of anything more powerful than a pastor's job or somebody that's in a spiritual authority job standing up ministering to thousands and thousands of people around this earth. I'm talking about just Christians now, not the others, because you know how that can influence. Well, here in Colossians chapter 4, this is why you have to be praying for your pastor and leaders, that God works through them. Amen? They're the ones standing up here that's going to share and teach these things to you, right? We don't just have anybody come up here. I'm up here because God called me to come up here, but you have to be praying that God works through me. That I'm not here just doing my own thing. I'm not here just teaching my own philosophy, my own ideas. Say, Pastor, you're serious? Yeah, I'm serious, because these are areas that we miss. That's why we have a leadership crisis. That's why we have going on a second generation where over 50% of the population, I'm talking about the United States, don't even attend church. Colossians chapter 4, let's read verse 2 and 3. I'm gonna read it out of the King James, and I'll read it out of the Amplified, because everybody don't have the Amplified. It says, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying, here it is again, praying also for us. Paul's asking again, pray for me, pray for my public ministry, saying that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains. He said, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Amplified says, and at the same time pray for us also, that God may open a door for us for the Word. Paul was saying that there has to be doors that are to be opened. Doors have to be opened so that it gives opportunity for the Word to be preached. How many know, if the Word is not preached, then faith cannot go forth and people cannot receive faith to receive the Lord. So it all is connected back together. He said that there be an open door for the Word to proclaim the mystery concerning the Christ, the Messiah, on account of which I am in prison. He's saying, literally, this is what God has called me to do. I'm in prison. In this ministry, I cannot escape from it. I cannot get out of it. This is my call on my life, and this is what I do. So pray for me that there will be an open door, because I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to give up. He said, at the same time, pray for us that also that God may open the door for us, that the Word gospel to be proclaimed, the mystery concerning Christ, on account of which I am in prison. See, there's times that you get into a place and you just feel something's not right. There's times when you're trying to minister to people, but it's like it's going against the wall. Now, how many know we have to break down those walls through prayer? Somebody, sent a little video clip of some pastor, big church. He got so upset. It was, I guess it was a Sunday, big church, thousands of people. He got so upset, he threw his Bible across the room and walked off the platform. Said, "You people are not even, you don't even want to receive this day. Why am I going to waste my time?" Now, I wouldn't advise doing that if you ever do miss. I think, from what I heard, about 1,000 people didn't come back to church the next week. Now, you know, people, for the most part, sitting out here wanting to receive something that will help their life. Can I get a better witness? And the last thing you need to do is see the pastor have a tyrant and lose it, have a rage, because there is a hindrance going on. Now, again, there's going to be times that, you know, you can feel. If you do this as long as I've been, you can feel things in the Spirit. You can feel when people are drawing from you. You know, that sponge effect where they're really, you know, chewing and eating these things up. And then you can feel sometime when there's a hindrance out there because they don't like what you're saying. Well, you know, for example, you could be talking about a marriage. You could be talking to the men. You know, sometimes we say things like we're supposed to love our wives, men, as God loves the church. Well, if you've got some man out there full of pride and he's having problems in his marriage, he don't want to hear that. He's going home on the way home telling his wife, said, "That jerk, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Why is he saying?" Well, see, it's not my words. It's the Word of God. So what I learn is what Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be in season, out of season. There's times, I'll just be, I get up here, I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel like even preaching. But I've learned just to go ahead and preach. I've seen people get up and say, "Well, I don't think y'all are wanting very much today. Let's just close our Bibles and go home." No, you won't find me doing it. There's times I get up, I don't even feel saved. I know you've never done that, but I have to go back and say, "Now I know I got saved in 19, you know, I go back and get myself collected again." But there's times that you don't feel the anointing. There's times that you don't feel like people are receiving what you're saying. But you have to keep preaching the Word. And the only way you're going to keep preaching the Word is that the people are praying that there's open door. That the door is open, but the Word of God is not being hindered. That's why you hear me pray sometime, "Lord, let there be no hindrance today. Let the Word go forward. Let them receive everything the Spirit of God." You hear me pray those prayers. But I know that sometimes there's different situations. I know that the Word of God works. But you cannot make people receive the Word. I can pray for you, and I do, but I can't pray against your will. You're still going to do what you do. You're still going to do what you want to do. Okay? Now, how did I get off on that? But the last thing you do when you come into a church is you want to sense there is confusion. There's a heaviness. Now, there's going to be times again that it gets thick because there's things going on. But I believe for the most part, if people come in this church, they're not going to sense confusion. They're not going to say, "Well, you know, that pastor doesn't know what he's talking about." You know, they're not going to be able to say that. They may sense, if they're spiritual, that there's some things that need to be broken through in the realm of the Spirit. But what church would not have that situation if you got people coming into it? Because people come into a church because they have a need. People come into church because they're hurting. Some of them are broken. Some of them are, you know, in big trouble. Some just come to speculate or spectate. But whatever the reason, see, you have to continue to preach the Word, and you have to pray that that Word has an open course. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There needs to be freedom. Can you say amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, these are what we call the pastoral epistles. And Paul was teaching preachers how to teach their congregations how to pray for spiritual leaders. Okay? I can tell when I'm preaching when people put the brakes on. I can tell when people are, you know, they're taking that in, and when some put the brakes on, they don't want to hear that. You know, you just learn those things, but you don't back off if it's the Word of God. And if it's not the Word of God, you shouldn't be preaching it anyway. Okay? But if it's the Word of God, we have to receive it so that the Word of God can change us, because God is not changing. Right? So if there's a problem, it's not with God. Now, the pastor could have a problem, but that's again why you need to pray that he's preaching the Word, so the Word can penetrate our hearts and lives and bring change to us. He said, we are bound, verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, now we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the truth. Let me go back and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us. There it is again. That the word of the Lord may run swiftly, our free course, depending on what translation you have, and be glorified just as it is with you. Now look, he's saying something here to us. People want, for the most part, to hear things that are going to help them. The only way you're going to be effective as a member of the body of Christ is to be able to get above your own problems, your own situations, the things that come against you. The only way you're going to be effective is to get your focus on the Lord and roll all of that care over on the Lord and just go for the gold. Just do what God has told you to do. Now he says this. Let me read this again to you. Verse 1. He said, pray for us. Now, here's how we pray. I hope you're writing these things down. This is how you pray for your pastor. This is how you pray for those that spiritually lead you. He said, pray for us. What? That the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Now, he's talking about public ministry. He's talking about when he gets up and he begins to minister, that the word of God, that really is talking about that the word can run like a river. That there's nothing that's going to hinder it from the people receiving it. Because again, if you sit here and your mind is on something else, your mind is on your problems, your mind is on what somebody did to you, you're walking in an offense, you've wasted an hour of your time. Okay? That's what he's telling you. Okay? The second thing he said is that the word, and this is important, I believe it's even more important, that His Word be glorified in people's lives. We need the Word to be glorified in our testimony. I mean, you young people that are using Facebook and Twitter and all these social networks, use them to glorify God in you. Stop with all the junk. I can see now they're going to block me. Boy, I've been getting all kinds of "be my fan," and all. And I just don't even read it. You know why? Because even those that call themselves Christian, they're not talking about God. The way the Word is glorified is that your testimony talks about God. Then he says this second thing, I think it's very important here, is that it be glorified in people's lives. In other words, the Word needs to be producing and bearing fruit in our lives. If we've been a Christian for a length of time and the Word is not changing us, something's wrong. How many know we need to change from glory to glory, from faith to faith, amen, from victory to victory? If we've sat in church a while, there ought to be some change that has taken place. I said there ought to be some change that has taken place. Well, he said, be glorified just as it is with you. Well, what are we talking about? Acts, just write it down because we're almost out of time. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Just write it down and let her pop it up there right quick. It says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now, what's he talking about? The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevail. This needs to be the way that we pray. This is how you pray, saints of God, that the Word of God that's being preached is received, unhindered, that it's able to run its course freely or swiftly, and that it grows mightily and it prevails. What are we talking about, grow mightily? We're talking about the word that you receive in your heart, that it grows. That it prevails. Prevails over what? It prevails over your circumstance. It prevails over your attacks. It prevails over the situations in your life. It prevails over whatever you're going through. The Word of God works, but we work the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. That it grows in us to the point where the Word in us is mightier. It's powerful. It is our important weapon that we use against every kind of attack that the enemy throws at us. Are you with me tonight? So, yes, we need to pray for our... Now, this is important. We do need to pray for our government. We do, according to the Word of God, and He instructs us that we are to pray for our leaders, our president, our vice president, our legislation group, you know, legislators. Listen, I didn't say you had to agree with them. I didn't say you had to agree with their politics. You look up the word politics in the Greek, it's really a demonic term. It means to be under the control or under the influence of something. Now, this is the way we change things in America, is at the voting booth. Not by talking and bad-mouthing how much we don't like so-and-so. Now, I know we get a little flack here, but let me just remind you of something. You are instructed to pray for the president. As much as you don't like his policies, you pray that God works through him. Let me tell you why. You cannot talk bad and make jokes and all the stuff I get on the internet. I just delete them. One, pass it on. You know why? You can't talk bad about somebody and then pray for them. It's going against what you're praying for. If you want God to work through them, then you can't talk bad about them. But equate that into any situation. Just like your church. If you're to pray for your church, you can't be bad-mouthing it. You're talking against what you're praying and asking God for. If you're married, you can't be talking bad about your spouse and then praying for her or him. You see what I'm saying? It is contrary one to the other. It doesn't equate. That's why Paul said, first of all, pray for that government. Pray for those leaders that are in authority so that we live a peaceable life. Not a life inflicted with higher taxes and all whatever may happen. I'm not saying we agree with those policies, but how many know most things, even in our country, is chosen for us and not necessarily our will. They're chosen for us because of the influence of those that are elected in those places of authority. The only way that we change that is through prayer, but also through voting. Well, I don't know who to vote for. Well, maybe God does. Do you ever think about asking Him? Well, I don't know this guy. No, well, just stop. Stop that. Your job is to pray, okay? So, Acts 19:20 says, this needs to be our prayer. The Word of God grows. And I care, listen, it's not about numbers. Make sure you understand my heart in this. It's not about how many we can get in here. All that's great, that's good. But you know what my heart is? Is that whoever comes in here grows, receives the Word, and the Word changes their life into what God has called them to be and do what God has called them to do. It's not about numbers for me. It's not about having, you know, the largest church or having the most. It's not about that, folks. Because you can draw a lot of... Organizations have large numbers of people and the Word of God is not even being preached. It's not changing anybody's life. All right, I've got two more here now, and we'll close up, okay? Are y'all with me? See, either you're part of the church and you understand what your duty is, or you're an attender. You're an attendee. How many of you want to be a part of the church? Okay. See, in this church, we put a demand upon the Word of God. But in doing that, we put a demand upon the people in that they have a responsibility. Amen? All right. Let's go to the book of Acts. I didn't read the last part of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. But he said, pray for me also that there be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all of them have faith. There's going to be unreasonable people out there that are not believers, and they're going to try to hinder the plan of God. Amen? All right, let's look at a couple more here. Acts chapter 14, and we'll have to close it down. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. See, this is about open doors. This is about having opportunities. Acts chapter 14, verse 27, I believe. It says, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So he's talking about praying here for the church. He's talking about praying for church leaders. He's talking about having an open door. Now, you know, these are the way you pray. This is the way you pray for your pastor. I don't mean open doors to go preach somewhere. Listen, my heart is to preach right here. I have people that ask me to go preach. My heart is to preach here. I could go somewhere almost every week. I could go somewhere, but you don't see me traveling and preaching. You see me here, because this is where God has called me. Pray for the open door that we will have more opportunities to get the gospel out to the people of this geographical region. Can you say amen? Okay, then Acts chapter 16, just a couple chapters over. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, say forbidden, by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, just stop there. You know, most preachers today, they won't turn down invitations. They'll just go wherever somebody invites them to go. Well, look what it says. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Listen, here's two times that the Spirit of God said, look, you're not going there. Don't go there. Now, I don't think I've ever heard very many preachers say, I'm not going there to preach. Now, I remember Brother Hagin, because he taught this. He said, don't ever go anywhere to preach because you want to. You go because the Spirit of God has led you to go. But see, most preachers, most ministries go because they need the offering. I'm just being honest with you. Not because they need to. Not because they're being led by the Spirit of God. Hello? Listen. You literally could go anywhere if you're a preacher. And the longer you're in this and the more people get to know you, you could just literally go just about anywhere. I get invitations to go to Africa, India, Philippines, Pakistan, I don't know, all over. Listen. And they want you to come because they're not going to pay your way. They're probably not even going to give you an offering. They just want you to come and teach the Word of God. But you have to be led by the Spirit to do those things. Are you with me? We don't just go off and do our own thing. That's what he's saying here. Look at verse 9. The vision appeared to Paul in the night. The man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over here to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that leaders, your spiritual leaders, need the congregation to pray. The congregation needs to pray what we have just listed here, what Paul showed us. If we don't pray, then it will become a free-for-all. it'll become if we don't have a congregation that is praying for the pastor, it's very probable that the pastor could get off into just doing what he wants to do rather than what the Spirit of God wants to do. All these things become very important and very connected, because we are to be connected in the Spirit for spiritual things and what God is speaking to us as this local body of believers. Are you here? Stand up with me on your feet. Prayer works. And how am I to pray? Well, I just told you. You need to pray for utterance. Bold. You say, well, Pastor, you're pretty bold. Well, you don't know me. I'm bold up here because of the anointing. But in private, I'm pretty shy. I don't say a lot of things to people in different kind of conversation, unless it's things about God and so on and so forth. And you need to, you know, pray that the word runs unhindered to the people he brings in. He brings people in here. Why does he bring people here? Because we're praying. We're praying, God, bring in the lost from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're dispatching angels. It's never been a problem of people coming in here. But it's got to be the prayer that, Lord, let those people that come that don't know you receive the word that they hear. Are you with me? It'd be a nightmare for me to stand before the pearly white gates and the Lord look at me and say, what were you doing? What was that? No, I want to hear the same thing you want to hear. Somebody say it again. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not like, why were you teaching? Why were you doing that kind of stuff? Now, he's not going to kick me out, but I don't want to hear that. And you don't want to hear that, right? God's called us to overcome. Praise the Lord.